Got a bit of a different message today I want to share with you. And really, the heart of the message is to ask a couple important questions. If you want to read along with me this morning, I want to take a text starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm going to be reading various passages from the next three chapters of 1 Corinthians. Chapters 12 and 13 and 14 as we go through this message this morning. But I'm just going to read the first verse here. The title of the message is Reflections on the Use of Spiritual Gifts. Reflections on the Use of Spiritual Gifts. And I will read the first verse here. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Let's have a word of prayer before we go further today. Father God, I thank you today for the chance to gather. I thank you, Lord, that the things that we speak about are more than words and ideas, but Lord, they have the power of your Spirit, Lord, behind them. And as we look and see and try to work in this life, Lord, and minister for you, we can see, Lord, that there truly is more to this than just persuasive words or our opinions, Lord, but there truly is a spiritual power at work, Lord, when we do things in a way that would be pleasing to you. And Lord, it is a desire of our hearts, Lord, that this church be strengthened, brought together, Lord, built up in love by that which every member supplies to this work. Lord, I pray that you today would speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us in our thinking, cause us to ask some important questions, Lord, and find ourselves doing what you would have us to do and doing it in a way, Lord, that would be a blessing to others, that would honor your cause. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Before I dig into this very much, I want to kind of set the stage a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 are about the topic of spiritual gifts. One of these chapters, probably everybody here in this room is familiar with in some way, shape, or form. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But really, his theme, Paul's theme for three chapters here is the use of spiritual gifts in the church. And if someone were to say, what do you mean spiritual gifts? You know, people hear the word gift and they think about Christmas, you know, getting something under the tree. But the concept here with spiritual gifts is that God has equipped his people. God has imparted gifts to his people. Spiritual gifts, if you will, that are given for the purpose of serving him. A special enablements from the Spirit of God that are meant to be used to serve him, to serve others. And it's part of, you know, the Christian's role, the Christian's job. When you've been saved, you know, we're called to serve God. We've talked about that a little bit, actually, on Wednesday night in our church covenant, you know, and how we have this purpose to serve God. And our spiritual gifts play a big part in how it is we serve. What is it that God is calling us to do? Because one of the things we're going to see here is every member of the church, every one of God's children who've joined themselves, covenanted themselves together in a church, has a ministry, has a place, has something or some things that we need to be doing. And so Paul devotes here three chapters to this topic. We are not in any way, shape, or form going to try to cover all of this, but there's just a couple things that I want us to ask today. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the punchline, but then we'll kind of fill this in. Two questions. Number one, am I using my spiritual gift or gifts in the service of the Lord? Am I using my spiritual gift or gifts in the service of the Lord? And the second question follows that. If the answer is yes, am I using them the right way? Am I using them the right way? And so really two questions I want us to ponder today. So I want to start off reading verses 4 through 10 here in chapter 12. And we saw that as Paul introduces this chapter, he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. I want you to understand this. A lot of times, the focus of folks when they're reading these passages, they are focused on some of the miraculous gifts that were common in the early church, like miracles and speaking in other languages and healings. And they want to go in and dig in and ask the questions about, is that gift active today? Yes or no? Why or why not? And that is their focus. And certainly, there's a lot of good discussion that can be had about that, but I have zero desire to talk about that today. That's really not the intent. Because sometimes by focusing so much on those things, we miss the good instruction that is here for us, that is important for us to understand about how to use the gifts that we do have. Because there is no indication that although some gifts may not be, at least we could say, prevalent today, at least not in the way that they were used in the Bible, but there is no indication in Scripture that there is not spiritual gifts today. There is no indication in Scripture that all these things that are spoken of, that all of them are gone, because we certainly believe that there are gifts today. There are gifts to be used. And so the question is, are you using your gifts in the service of the Lord? And if so, are you using them the right way? So let's just kind of lay down a few basics. Paul says here in verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, at the beginning of this passage, Paul speaks of three things. He speaks of gifts, he speaks of service, and he speaks of activities. Or depending on which version you're looking at, it might say gifts and administrations and operations or whatever. But he clearly talks about three different things. And I want you to notice that as he talks about those three different things, in one, he speaks about the Spirit, gifts from the Spirit. And the next one, he speaks about service, but the same Lord. And then the third one, he speaks about activities, but the same God. Notice he mentions all three members of the Godhead, all three members of the Trinity as he's going through this. And his purpose is to show us that though there may be differences in the things that we all do, it is the same God who is behind all of this. It is the same God who is behind all of this. And what are these things? Well, we talked about a gift just briefly. A spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit-enabled ability given to you for service to God. A Holy Spirit-enabled ability given for service to God. He goes on and says there's different gifts. Same Spirit that gives them, but gives different gifts. There's also different services or ministries or administrations. Again, depending on which version you're looking at, that Greek word is where we get the word deacon, diakonon. It has nothing to do with deacons specifically, but it simply means a means of serving. There are different gifts that God gives out through His Spirit. And there are different ways of serving God through those gifts. Just because two people may have the same gift doesn't mean that God is calling them to serve in the same way with that same gift. It can be different. And the third thing that we see is that there are also different activities or effects or operations. Again, depending upon the version that you're reading, I believe that is the Greek word where we get the word energy from, energeion. And it's simply the results, that what God does with it. You may have two people with the same gift, with different ministries, different ways of serving God with it, and they produce from those ministries very different kinds of things. The effect that they have upon others, what God is calling them or trying to do. They may have very different focuses and what God is wanting to use their gifts to accomplish in people. But it's the same God behind all of it. And so really, what part of Paul's intention in this portion of Scripture is to broaden our thinking about spiritual gifts, about how they're used and what they do, to try to expand our minds a bit. Because if we were just going to read this chapter and this chapter alone, he isn't exhaustive about all the types of spiritual gifts that there are. But in this chapter, he mentions gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation, apostles, helping, administration, teachers. You could parse those out a different way and call some of them gifts and some of them types of service. But the whole point is that, look, there's a lot of different ways, a lot of different ways that God may choose to use his people. A lot of different ways. But we need to recognize in all of these things that it is the Spirit of God that is gifting and enabling. And part of what he's calling us to do is to respect and appreciate all of these different ways. Because oftentimes, and one of the temptations that we see Paul having addressed with his church is that they tend to just think about the person getting up and speaking in a church service. As that person has a gift, God's given them a gift, we see that person who is doing that thing as having that gift, and then we think, if I don't get up and speak, if I don't get up and sing, then I don't have a gift. Or if I have a gift, it's not that important. It's not that significant. And Paul is trying to blow all of that up in this chapter. He's trying to blow all of that up in this chapter to point out that there are a lot of different things that need to be done, that God is gifting and enabling people to do. But in all those things, there's one God. And I want you to notice in verse 7, no matter what your gift is, no matter how God would have you use it, it is for the common good. Verse 7, it's for the common good. It's so that all might profit from your service using that gift for the glory of God and whatever he might accomplish with it. It has a good and important purpose. I want to give you a couple illustrations, one from Scripture and one that I saw this last week that blessed my heart so much. Again, we think about spiritual gifts and you read these things and you think about the things that were going on in the New Testament. You know, and oh man, there were people who were speaking in other languages and interpreting and prophecies and miracles and healings. And oh man, those miracles, that was so impressive. That was so important. But one of the things we read about in the book of Acts is that I believe it was Peter went to Joppa to go visit the disciples in Joppa. And when he arrived there, they were mourning. They were mourning. The disciples there were grieving over the loss of a sister in Christ. Her name was Tabitha. And the Bible says that she was full of good works and acts of charity. So here was a disciple who was a woman who was full of good works. She had acts of service, and God was using her acts of service to touch many people. And all the people in that church, when Tabitha died, they were mourning. They were weeping. They were grieving. And when Peter arrived there, they sent two people Because Tabitha had just died and said, please come to us without delay. And as Peter came, they started showing Peter what? All the books she had written for the Lord? You know? All the Bible studies that she had hosted and the myriad of women that she had taught? No. They started showing Peter tunics and other garments that she made while she was with them. They started showing Peter, look at what this woman did. She apparently was a seamstress. And she had that ability, that talent. But what was so interesting and so unique about this is that she had this spiritual gift of service, of helping, of ministering. And she used her talent. She combined her talent and this spiritual gift of helping and ministering. And she used that to make clothing for people who were in need. People in the church and acts of charity. Most likely people outside the church. And she was just pouring herself into this. This was something she was good at. And she used this to serve the Lord and serve the Lord's people. And when Peter was there, apparently the Lord moved in Peter's heart, and he had them go outside, and he knelt down and prayed. And then he turned to Tabitha's body, and he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and she saw Peter, and she sat up, and Peter came and presented her alive to the rest of the disciples. I think one of the things that's so neat about that, you know, is, I mean, obviously, you know, a resurrection, that's really cool. That's really cool for someone to come back alive. But what I think is so special about that is that it wasn't some great preacher. It wasn't some great preacher, some great leader, someone who had been going around and doing miracles all over the place. This was a woman who was a seamstress who had this heart, this spiritual enablement to use that in a way that would bless others. And she just was full of good works and charity. And she was one the Lord chose to make this statement with and say, this is something this church still needs. This is something this church still needs. And he brought her back. And he brought her back. This last week, I got an email from my friend, Matt Rudisill. Some of you may remember Matt. Matt is the one who did all the mechanical work for our building here. He owns General Mechanical Incorporated. They're down on King Street, over close to where Toys R Us used to be. He owns that business there and did all of our mechanical design work for free here at the Anchor. He was a good friend of Jimmy Christian. And Matt reached out to me this last week and said, I've got it on my heart to do a workshop for 4 Saturdays. And it's for fathers and sons. And I'm going to open this place up, my shop here. And we're going to have, you know, on these 4 different Saturdays, it's going to be 4 hours each, we're going to have, you know, come in and learn how to do some metal work and create, you know, toolbox. And there's going to be some welding. We're going to create a rocket stove and all these different things. He sent me a couple pictures and he was just seeing if I was interested in coming. And he said, we're going to have a little Bible study at the beginning of this and, you know, talk about fathers and sons and the relationship. And we're going to do this, you know, for just 4 weeks. And when I saw that, it just blessed my heart so much. I'm thinking, you know, here he is. This is his thing. I mean, he knows mechanical design. He knows metalwork. He's got that whole shop there. And here he's thinking, and he has this heart for fathers and sons and wanting to build the bond there between fathers and sons. And so he's trying to use that and find a way to marry those things together to serve God. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to make this one. And he said he may try to do some more classes later. But he said, will you come in and do a Bible study at one of them? But we do one of the devotionals. And I said, sure. So I'm going to hopefully go do that. But it just blessed me so much that, I mean, he found a way. And it really is outside of the box from the way we typically think about church. It's outside of the box from the way we typically think about ministry. But it was him. It's this unique combination of who he is and what he does and what God was doing in his heart to try to create this opportunity. And so I want to ask the question, are you using your spiritual gifts in service to the Lord? Because one of the things that Paul goes on to mention here in 1 Corinthians 12 is that every single member, every single person in the congregation, in the church, is necessary. We're different, but there is the diversity is part of our strength. We are different, but we at the same time have a unity because it's the same Spirit who is giving out these gifts as He wills. That there is this God-sent divine purpose and order in the way that He's made all of us and how He has brought us together to accomplish exactly what He wants to do. And if we have this mentality where we think that only certain things are really important and the rest of it isn't, we are completely and totally, utterly wrong. And we are missing out on exactly what God wants to accomplish with us, because Paul's point, as he goes down through this and goes, just because the eye says, or the ear says, I'm not the eye and I'm not important, you still need the ear. He goes through the different parts of the body and says, if one part of the body thinks, because I'm not the head, I'm not important, then you're going to be off balance. You're going to be missing something. He points out, using this illustration of the human body, that every single piece is essential. And our strength is in our diversity. Our strength is in our diversity. And that every member is important. Even those who would have a tendency to think that they're not important or significant. Paul says they are important. And remember our Lord who gave the parable of the shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one went astray and he left the 99 to go after the one, because he felt that that one was so important and was so essential that he wasn't ready to just give it up, because he knew that there was a place, that there was a purpose for that one. And so chapter 12 is about laying out for us some of the basic concepts about spiritual gifts, but meaning to broaden the way that we think about them and to recognize and legitimize all these different ways that God can be served for this purpose of the common good, and to ask that question, am I using my spiritual gifts in the service of the Lord? Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Have you limited in your thinking what service to God can look like, so that you've missed the opportunities and the calling that God's placing on your life? As we move toward the next question, which is going to be, am I using my spiritual gifts in the right way? We're moving towards chapter 14, where that's really addressed. But here in the midst of all this, we have 1 Corinthians 13. It's a relatively short chapter of the Bible, but it's probably the most quoted chapter in the entire book of 1 Corinthians, one of the most quoted chapters in the New Testament. It's the love chapter. No doubt you've heard this at weddings. You've seen this cross-stitched. You know, love is patient, love is kind. You know, you've seen it on greeting cards. You know, when you go to pick one up, talking about all the things that love is. And what's interesting is that Paul is not switching subjects when he talks about love, because what I want you to see, we're just going to read the first three verses of chapter 13. Paul goes on because this church had some issues understanding spiritual gifts. They had some issues with people wanting the really flashy gifts, the ones that seemed to be so miraculous. They were drawn to those and they were looking at the other things as being not that important. And so Paul here starts off 1 Corinthians 13 and picks some of the flashier gifts. And he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I'm just a bunch of noise. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. That is the introduction to love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, and on and on. And again, my purpose is not to go through all those things, but I wanted you to see what the real context of that passage is. Because Paul is now transitioning them from thinking about, you know, we need to understand the importance of all these different gifts. He's transitioning us to this question of how are you using your gifts? And what he is wanting to help them understand, and here he opens up our understanding about this topic, is that love is essential for our gifts to be used the right way. Love is essential for us to use our gifts the right way. And it's a really important second question for us. And so after he lays down those principles of love, he turns now to chapter 14. And I want to read a portion of this chapter to us. He starts off by telling us in verse 1 to pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, what he begins to do here is to compare two different gifts quite a bit, the gift of prophecy and the gift of speaking in other languages. Now, in this early church, the Lord had given this gift of speaking in other languages for the purpose of those who were of a different language, a different nationality, to be able to hear the gospel in their own language, that they could hear about the wonderful works of God. And apparently, those who had this gift could exercise this gift even when there wasn't somebody there who was from that other land, that other nationality. And so they could get up and start speaking in this other language, even if there was nobody there who could understand that language. That's interesting, isn't it? That it wasn't one of those things that only showed up when there was somebody there who needed to hear Portuguese. But they could speak Portuguese, even though they had never studied it, on the spot, whenever they chose to do so. And so Paul, addressing this situation, because people who had this gift seemed to have a tendency to want to show that gift off. And he's explaining to them about, you know, in the context of when you're with the church, he goes on and explains, go down with me to verse 5. He says, I want you to all be able to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. If I were to back up to verse 4 and read that, it says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. What do we learn from this? That God gave us gifts that are intended to be for the common good. He gave us gifts that are meant to be able to be a blessing to his church, a blessing to his people, to further the advancement of the gospel. But we can use those gifts at times in a way that is simply about self-gratification. We have the ability to misuse those gifts in such a way as to promote ourselves, to promote our agenda, to do what it is that we want to do, to make ourselves feel better about ourselves or something else, to try to get ourselves some gain. We have the ability to misuse these gifts. And that's what Paul is saying in verse 4, is the one who is speaking in a tongue, that and the context is that nobody else even understands, and there's nobody there to interpret it back to English or whatever language is the audience is trying to hear in. All you're doing is making yourself feel better. You're not really helping anybody else. And that's a really insightful thing to understand about spiritual gifts, because sometimes people have this idea that they can only use their spiritual gifts the right way. But they can only use their spiritual gifts the right way. And if they use their gifts, well, it must be right because God enabled me to do that. There's a lot of things that God allows us to have the strength to do by his common grace that are not consistent with his will. Even in the giving of these gifts, And so it's important for us to understand that we need to not just say, oh, I'm going to use my gift. I have this gift and I'm going to use it. But to ask the question, am I using it the right way? Am I using this gift the right way? And the reason he says in verse 5 that the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues is not that the gift of prophecy is more miraculous. It's not that it requires more fairy dust, if you will. It's looking at the function of the gift. It's because when someone was to give a prophecy, it was in the language of the people who were hearing it, and they could understand it, and they could be strengthened, they could be encouraged, they could be consoled. It could help them. That's what made that gift better than the other. It was not that one gift of itself was better than the other, but it was the way that it was being used. It was being used in a way that was more helpful to other people. That's why Paul said, I could have all prophetic knowledge and understand all the mysteries of the Bible, but if I didn't have love, it's nothing. Same thing for tongues. Same things for healings and all this stuff. None of it is anything apart from love. So it's the way we use our gift. Whether it is the seamstress like Tabitha who is sewing these things to give generously and broadly to help all who needed garments, or whether the one who has been given a calling and a gifting to preach or to teach standing, it's the way it's being used that truly matters. And so what Paul does as we move on down through this passage, he's going on and talking about how important it is when something was said in church that it be understandable. That it be something that the people could grasp and be blessed with. So he says in verse 13 something very interesting, and I want us to think about it. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. Paul says something so interesting there in verse 13. He says, if you have the gift of tongues and you are able to speak in this other language, that is great. I'm happy for you. But pray that when you use that gift, if there's not somebody there who understands that language, pray that God might give you the ability to interpret what it is you said, that they could be benefited by it. What's so interesting about that? Let me mention a couple things that's interesting. Number one, your spiritual gifts are not necessarily static, meaning unmoving, unchanging. Because here Paul is telling somebody who has a gift of tongues to pray for God to give them the giftedness, the ability to interpret what they say. Implying that that's not always something that they could do. But if they were to understand that God has given me this gift and somehow I need to use this in a way that's helpful to other people, Lord, help me to be able to use this gift in a way that could benefit other people. Pray for that, he says. Pray for that. It also implies that the way that we use our gifts are not necessarily static or unmoving. There may be times when they exercise that gift of tongues in front of somebody who speaks that language that they are speaking.
And there's no need for an interpreter because they have said what needs to be said, and that person hears it and they are blessed by it. They're ministered to by that because they get to hear the wonderful works of God in their own language. But there are also means of service when they might have to use that gift in a place where there aren't people who understand that language. And therefore, they need to pray to be able to interpret it. Otherwise, it can't help those who don't know that language. So that even that person who had that gift would use it in different ways at different times. And so the question that we have to ask from all this is, am I using my gift, the gift that God has given me, or the gifts that God has given me, am I using them in a way that actually helps other people? Because it's not enough just to use your gift. It's the question is, am I using it in a way that helps other people? Jesus is the greatest example of this. Jesus is the greatest example of this. Here is someone who had gifts beyond measure, okay? But Jesus is the ultimate example of meeting people where they were. Meeting people where they were. Number one is the incarnation. He came down from glory, from heaven, to come down and dwell among us as a man. He put on human flesh. And when he came down here to this world, he did not come bright and shining, did not come as a king born in a palace, but came humbly. He came in a form that was very approachable, not one that would easily intimidate people by his occupation, his status. He traveled to people. His ministry did not simply consist of, I'm going to set up camp right here, and anybody who wants to hear, come to me. No, Jesus went to people. He went to their community, their village, their city, traveling around. Jesus performed miracles. And he said, well, we don't do miracles, but think about the concept behind the miracle. There were people that came to Jesus with all sorts of different issues, and Jesus met them and touched them in their life at their issue. What was going on with them? Is it your foot? Is it your foot? Jesus would give attention to their foot, or to your arm, or to your fever, or to whatever it was in their life. Jesus would meet them at their level, with what was going on with their life. When Jesus would speak to them, he would seek to speak in parables that called upon the basic things of life that they understood. Farming, agricultural type things, sheep, a guy owning a vineyard and doing this, doing that. It was the way they lived. It was what they lived in. And Jesus pulled upon those things to try to share spiritual truths with them, because he cared deeply about their souls. And so though he had gifts, perfect gifts, he was always seeking to think about his audience. How can I use this gift to help them? It wasn't just enough for him to get up and preach, but he was thinking about who he was preaching to. That doesn't mean that they all listened. It doesn't mean they all got saved. It doesn't mean that they all got changed. But he used his gifts in love to the benefit of those people. The Apostle Paul was very much the same. The Apostle Paul is the guy who said, I become all things to all men that I might win some. To those who were Greeks, he became like the Greeks. To the Jews, he became as a Jew. He was not compromising. He wasn't sinning. But he simply was trying to be relatable to whoever he was ministering to. The message the Apostle Paul would preach and speak before the Jews when he would go into the synagogues was a very different message than the Apostle Paul preached when he was at Mars Hill among a bunch of people who worshiped all sorts of different gods. In both circumstances, he was exercising his gift. But he was very aware of who his audience was, who it was that he was trying to speak to, where they were at, what they understood. How can I minister to them where they are? And so he used his gift to the benefit of his audience. And I think that that's a question that we have to ask ourselves as we think about what it is that we're doing, what it is we're trying to do as a church. And it's often, it's very easy. Let me just bring this to kind of to us here today. You know, we can think about how we do things. We can think about what's a gift and what's not. I mean, you know, am I using my gift? And sometimes we are too limited in what we think gifts are and how gifts can be used. We narrow it down to the church service. And that's wrong. That's wrong. It's not just in this time that the gifts of God, that God gives his people, are meant to be used. But we also need to think about not just am I using my gift, but am I using my gift the right way? It's not enough for me just to get up here and say, well, the Lord's leading me to preach on this topic, and I'm going to get up here and I'm going to use a bunch of words you don't understand, and I'm going to go and try to use examples that may make sense to me, but aren't going to make any sense to you at all, because I'm going to get up here and preach. I'm just going to do whatever the Lord laid on my heart. The Lord wants me to preach what's laid on my heart, but the Lord wants me to preach it to you. He wants me to preach it to you. And part of that requires me to think about you. And to the best of my ability to understand where you are and to try to make this relatable and understandable to you. Maybe change things up if it's not helping you. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to hear and get saved. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to hear and respond and grow. But that I am trying to think about you when I do this thing. Not just about me and say, well, I use my gift. I don't know what the problem is. That require us to think about that. Am I using my gift the right way? Am I using my gift the right way? It's a couple really important questions that I think that we need to ponder. I don't have all the answers. I don't think I'm supposed to have all the answers. But just like Paul encouraged those Corinthians, let the one who speaks in tongues pray that he might interpret. And that's really what I want to draw us all to today, is to cause you to think and to cause you to pray. And to go to God and ask God to help you with those questions. I am praying and asking God to help me with these questions. Am I using my gifts in the service of God? And if yes, am I using them the right way for the benefit of the people? Am I thinking about them and how they might be benefited by the exercise of the gifts that God gives me? And that needs to be a continual question and reevaluation, because as we've seen, it doesn't mean it's going to be that way forever and ever and ever. Amen. That he may change that. He may give us different opportunities. And we as God's people have to be open to that and be ready to serve him, because ultimately that's really what it's about. It's about loving God and it's about loving each other. And the spiritual gifts are just how God points us in a very specific, practical way as to how he would have you to do that.